In Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has emerged as the winner in yesterday's general election. His main challenger, Benny Gantz of the Blue and White Party, conceded defeat today. Netanyahu is now on course to become Israel's longest-serving prime minister ever, and he's expected to form a solidly right-wing governing coalition in Israel's parliament. That trend toward the right is one of the reasons that the American Jewish community's relationship with Israel's government is increasingly fraught. Some see the divide as generational. That includes 24-year-old Alyssa Rubin, a community organizer living in Boston. Rubin is a member of If Not Now, a Jewish anti-occupation movement. That is a source of anguish for her grandfather, 86-year-old Jason Pearl, a lawyer in Bloomfield, Connecticut.
I have spent a great deal of time with Alyssa as she was growing up, and it comes as quite a shock to me that she could have an attitude toward Israel different from grandpa's.
For many years, grandfather and granddaughter have been debating U.S. policy toward Israel. Today, they're letting us listen in.
When I was about 8 to 10, I was at a men's breakfast in my synagogue, and someone who had, in fact, escaped from Europe was telling the men assembled there on a Sunday morning, telling them about the annihilation of European Jewry, and they castigated this man. They yelled at him, liar, it's not true, the Germans would never do this. I mean, they were vituperative toward this man, that it was impossible that the Germans were bent on annihilating European Jewry. I grew up knowing there was this great need for a land that would accept Jews. Alyssa doesn't have that experience. She knows that she's intellectually brilliant, and she knows these things happen, but she didn't live through them, and there's a big difference.
Alyssa, you didn't live through the 30s and 40s. Do you agree with your grandfather that you see the world differently because of that, because of the time you grew up in?
Yeah, we've had this conversation a lot of times, and it's really helped me to ground in the perspective of somebody that grew up during a really different time. And I think a major shift that's happened over the last few years, particularly since Trump's election and the growth of this right-wing white nationalist movement, is that I've really started seeing anti-Semitism expressed in this country in a more visceral way than I've ever experienced it before. And I think where the difference lies is that I see the U.S. and Trump's relationship with the Israeli government and with Netanyahu as fueling that anti-Semitism and not protecting us from it.
It's hard. It's hard for me to have my granddaughter support organizations which are, to my mind, anti-Israel and, to her mind, constructive toward improving Israel. I think that's a fair statement. They can't hear the shake of your head, dear, on the radio.
Thank you for the visual.
It feels like a tension for me to know that I don't believe that the way that Israel is currently set up or the way that our whole world order is set up is really living out the values of Judaism. And I acknowledge the really deep historical connection that we have to this place, and having been there has been a really complicated experience for me. And I also did feel this sense of connection.
And Jason Pearl, do you feel that same tension as your granddaughter?
When I taught Hebrew school, which is, 60, 70 years ago, wow, I can't believe it's that long ago, Israel was something that one didn't question as a nation. It's almost my country, right or wrong, my country. And if the price of having Israel is that we rarely question its internal and external policies, then that's the price I think we ought to be willing to pay.
To me, if we don't criticize Israel, we don't hold Bibi accountable, we don't hold our people and the American Jews that support Israel unquestioningly, then we ourselves are putting ourselves in a dangerous situation where right now the mainstream Jewish community is allying itself with Trump and with anti-Semites and white nationalists, all in the name of protecting and supporting Israel. And so I think that we make this implicit assumption that Israel equals Jews and Jews' safety equals Israel. And I feel like in this moment, there's actually been a shift where Israel in its current in the way that Israel is currently operating is actually making us less safe. And I believe that Jews and all people deserve to be safe. And well, I will fight for that. I just don't think that the way that things are going right now, that that safety is in Israel.
Let me just jump in because it's a great moment to pivot back to the elections in Israel. The latest results suggest Benjamin Netanyahu will continue to be the prime minister, now the longest serving one in Israeli history, passing even the record tenure of David Ben-Gurion. Exit polling also shows that Trump was an asset for Netanyahu, especially the recognition of the Golan Heights being a main feather in Bibi's cap. How does that color your view of Israeli relations with the U.S. today, both of you?
On a very, very personal level, I am so proud of Alyssa. I am so proud that she is my granddaughter. On the other hand, I would like to see her devote her efforts to put all of her desires to make change directed against the people who are lobbing rockets from Gaza into civilian homes in Israel. Go after those people. Change their ways rather than go after the people who are trying to defend themselves.
The reason that I'm focused on the Jewish community is because I'm a Jew and because this is being done in our name.
Jason, what do you think the younger generation is failing to see, briefly? And then, Alyssa, same question to you.
I know that the existence of a strong Israel is necessary for the Jewish diaspora to have any security. Alyssa doesn't know what it means to have no nation in the world willing to accept her because she has a big J on her passport.
And what do you think the older generation is missing, Alyssa?
I believe that this absolutely devastating trauma happened to us, and we acted in a way that we needed to at the time to heal that trauma and to be safe. But in the process, and as the global context has changed, as the reality has changed, that we are now in deep danger because of the very thing that we tried to protect ourselves with. I care just as much about the Jewish community as you do, and I care about Jews being safe. And I see that there's another choice. I see that the only choices that we've been presented to keep ourselves safe are assimilate, reject our Judaism, assimilate into white American Christian society, or go to Israel. And I think that in the diaspora, there's another choice, that those don't have to be our two choices, that we can choose to claim our Judaism and also be in solidarity with the other groups that are targeted by white nationalism and white supremacy in this country and actually ally ourselves rather than separating ourselves and allying with people who we think will keep us safe but actually do not care about us. And I think that we also really need to look at the way that the U.S. is responsible in a lot of ways for the current situation, and that it's actually quite beneficial for the U.S. for Israel to be administering a military occupation. And looking at the way that the U.S. really profits off of the occupation and has a really vested interest in the status quo being maintained in Israel.
Well, why don't you take responsibility for the oppression in Syria? Why don't you take oppression for all the civilians around the world who are being gassed, who are being made homeless? I see an area where you could devote your somewhat brilliant efforts without being contra, I won't say anti, contra-Jewish, contra-Zion, contra-Israeli.
I think this is the most Jewish thing I can do, though, is to engage in these conversations and in these questions and take responsibility. And I think that you can hear me as little as maybe you do. I think that you can hear me in a way that you might not hear somebody who's not Jewish, because you know that I care, because I have a vested stake in it.
See, I'm not so sure. When you start criticizing the very existence of Israel as it exists today, then I'm not so sure that you're doing it from a pro-Jewish point of view. It scares me. It bothers me. It's, trouble in the tribe.
Clearly, the conversation doesn't end here. Alyssa Rubin and her grandfather, Jason Pearl, thanks very much for letting us be privy to some of it.
We will continue our discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you both.
But we respect each other.